All right, let's take our Bibles one more time and go to Psalm 23. There's no more verses in this psalm, so this is it. Last sermon. All right, and we've got one verse left. That's verse 6. And this morning, I want us to look at the shepherd's influence. The shepherd's influence. All right, let's, if you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack in front of you. You may feel free to use that. And we are in Psalm 23, probably the most familiar Psalms in all of the book of Psalms, and one that most people have learned by memory. You basically learn this in Sunday school when you're a child, don't you? That's where I remember first hearing it, and we went to the Baptist church down at the end of the road we lived on, and I remember sitting in Sunday school and the teacher teaching this psalm, and so it's had a lot of material has been written about it and said about it, and truly is one of the greatest blessings in all the Psalms to read Psalm 23 and realize that the Lord is indeed our shepherd. All right, let's begin in verse 1. We'll read down to our text verse being verse 6. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Now here's our text verse. In light of everything that has been said in the first five verses, and in light of all the wonderful blessings that are ours because we have a good shepherd, he closes by saying, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord, what's the last word?
Forever.
Forever. Amen. The shepherd's influence this morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come now asking for your richest blessings to be upon us as we look at the influence of the shepherd. He works in our hearts. He protects us. He feeds us. He nurtures us. He protects us, all these wonderful things that the shepherd does. And now we have that influence that is going to follow us now for the rest of our lives. And Father, we are so thankful that we have eternal life. I'm so thankful that you died on that cross and shed your life's blood so that we could be saved from our sin. And Father, we're thankful that for whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we know that that salvation is everlasting life. And we thank you for it. And I pray that you will bless your word to our hearts this morning and give us understanding of the influence that the shepherd has upon our lives. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, David now states his conclusion. This is the wrap up to this amazing psalm about the Lord Jesus as our good shepherd. he has stressed how essential to the welfare of the sheep is the shepherd's diligence and his efforts and all the work that he does on a daily basis. All the benefits that are enjoyed by a flock under his skilled and loving management has been explained in clear and concise phrases from the first verse down now to the fifth. And all these wonderful things that David tells us the Good Shepherd does for us are now being looked at, being looked back on, and David shows us the bottom line of what that care has done for the sheep. You see, folks, that influences the sheep. That kind of care, that kind of daily care that the shepherd gives, that influences the sheep. They are comfortable around him. They are conscious of his presence, and they are happy in his presence. So there is an influence that the shepherd has upon the sheep. And that influence is found in verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, folks, the sheep who have such a kind, loving, protective, dedicated shepherd knows of a surety that his position or that their position under his care is a privileged condition. They realize that. They understand that. They have come to trust him. And so his influence is felt by them. No matter what comes, at least, always, that sheep can be perfectly sure that goodness and mercy is going to be in the picture. They are that confident. He reassures himself that he is ever under sound, sympathetic, and intelligent ownership. So what else does that little lamb have to fear? Don't forget verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Exactly. So there's nothing that that little lamb frets over. There's nothing to be afraid of. And that little sheep learns over time and over influence not to be afraid. So what does he have to fear? What's he have to worry about? He knows that goodness and mercy will be the treatment that he is going to receive from the shepherd's expert and loving hands. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Folks, that is really quite a bold statement. It's a bold statement. But it is also, so far as the sheep are concerned, that is also somewhat of a boast, don't you think? I mean, that little lamb is just sitting there with a big old lamb smile on its face and is thinking to itself, man, I got it made here under the shepherd. I got it made here under the shepherd. The shepherd has proven to me, he has shown me that he is one who loves me and cares, and that little lamb gets confidence in the one who controls his care and his destiny and his life. You know, folks, if every time that little sheep, that little lamb got within I don't know, let's say 6 or 7 feet of the shepherd, if every time one of those little guys got within a few feet of the shepherd, that shepherd took his staff and just smacked the sheep with it to get it away, after a while, that little sheep is going to say, I'm not going over there anymore. Right? I mean, he wises up, you know. He sits there and thinks, you know, the last time I went over there, he liked to crack my skull open. So I'm not going to go over there anymore. All right? Well, the little sheep don't worry about that because the shepherd is kind and protective and helpful, and everything the shepherd does is for the benefit of that little lamb. And so a bond is created. There is a trust that is secured. So you see, the past care of the shepherd has a long-lasting influence upon that lamb. So from the sixth verse, let's consider this morning the shepherd's influence. And I want you to notice just a couple of two things. First of all, I want you to notice the confidence the shepherd instills. The confidence the shepherd instills. I wonder how many Christians actually feel this confidence about our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you feel that, Christian? Do you feel that confidence? Do you feel like this little lamb that surely goodness and mercy is going to follow you because you are the sheep and the Lord Jesus is the shepherd? Do you feel that confidence? Well, you ought to. I mean, if you go back and read John chapter 10, you're going to find out that the shepherd knows you. You got that? He knows you. He knows everything about you. And here's the neat thing. Even though he knows you, he still loves you. Go figure that. Man, you know, years ago when I was in college, there was this girl, and she was cuter than a speckled pup. I don't know how else to say it to you. But she was just the cutest thing, and so we ended up meeting and kind of dating a little bit, but once I got to know her, man, I mean, it was, you know, pick, she pinching you and stop. You know, just stop. You're an adult. Quit doing that. It drove me nuts. And so I just couldn't handle that. So I broke it off. And all my idiot friends were going, are you nuts? And I said, no, you need to get to know her and you'll find out why I told her to go find somebody else. I'm not interested in getting bruises all over my arms. Thank you very much. I mean, why would somebody do that? I don't understand it. But nonetheless, you know, once we learn, sometimes, you know, what they say, beauty's only skin deep. Huh? Yeah. But pinching goes all the way to the bone, man. I mean, whoo, I couldn't handle that. I just, man, it blew me away. And so, you know, the Lord knows us, though. Folks, he knows every single thought that goes through your mind. He knows every single action that you commit. He knows it. He knows every word that you speak. And yet he loves us. Oh, that to me is just, wow, that's amazing to me. And that creates a bond. All right? So the confidence that the shepherd instills. We know that the shepherd loves us, and therefore we ought to realize that goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives. Thank God for his goodness, and thank God for his mercy. Do we realize this? Well, you know, I'm not really 100% sure that we do. I'm not 100% sure. Now, it is really easy for us to say this as long as everything's going well for us, isn't it? You know, if our health is good and our job is secure and our income is safe and our friends like us and our spouse likes us and, you know, our family, our kids like us, then it's not too hard to say, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. But how about when life seemingly falls apart? Or falls down around us? Can we say that the Lord is our shepherd, and surely goodness and mercy is going to follow us? Can we say it then? You know what amazes me, and you know, I've got a little experience in this area, but I have seen through the years a lot of folks that are good pilots when it's calm seas. But boy, you let the storms come and they fall apart. What happens to us? Well, I think we somehow or another don't realize the influence of the shepherd upon us. I mean, what do you say when your body breaks down and starts to fall apart? You know? And it will. If it hadn't already, it will. And you know, the older you get, things don't improve. Right? They get worse, don't they? I mean, you wake up every morning and look in the mirror and go, what is that? You know? Good grief, where'd that come from? I mean, just overnight, you got a tumor, you know? What do we do then? I mean, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. What do you do when your job dries up? What do you do when you don't have the funds to pay your bills? What do you do when your children drift away from you and from your family and their grades begin to fall and you find out that their choice of friends is about as caustic as it can be? What do you do when your friends suddenly, without grounds, reveal their true colors and turn against you? What do you do then? You know, everybody's a good pilot in calm seas, aren't they? But it's another story when things begin to fall apart. And it is times like these that a person, test a person's confidence in the care of the Lord Jesus. It is these times when things look the bleakest and when we are suddenly awakened to the reality that sometimes, well, actually most of the times, our lives can be dashed to pieces on the payment of reality in just a minute's notice. And folks, it's in times like these, can we honestly say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Folks, listen, God sometimes takes us through the storm. God sometimes takes us through the deep water, not so he can drown you, but so he can teach you how to swim. That's our God. That's our shepherd. And he loves you and he cares. And he knows what you're facing. All he is wanting you to do is realize he is your good shepherd. Lean upon him and trust him during those times. This is the essence of all that has gone on before in the previous five verses. All the care, all the work, all the alert watchfulness, all the concern, all the self-sacrifice of the shepherd are born out of his love. They all come from what? The fact that he loves us and that he carries us through. Don't forget verse 2. Don't forget verse 3. Don't forget verse 4. Don't forget verse 5. He cares. And then you can trust him for verse 6. The Lord Jesus said in John 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Oh my, if that's not trusting in the shepherd, if that doesn't give you a reason to trust the shepherd, I don't know what will. I mean, he has promised, and he did what he promised. He gave his life for the sheep. Amen for that. In 1 John 3, in verse 16, John said, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And he did it willingly. So we can have confidence in him, in his influence. Can we have the same boldness as did David and say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Folks, if he has ever proven himself to you even one time before, you can be assured of his goodness and his mercy in the future. If he has even shown himself one time, you can trust him in the future. And he has sure shown himself more than once to all of us. Let me ask you another question. What is meant by the little phrase, goodness and mercy shall follow me? All right, look carefully at how that's worded. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Now, if I'm walking this way and Pastor Brian decides he wants to follow me, he gets up and he walks the same direction I'm walking, right? He comes behind me. I'm going this way. He is following me. He is going the same direction I'm going. All right, now think about it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. I did some reading beyond, I tell you, this phrase stumped me. And so I just started studying it and trying to find all I could find about it. And there was one author that I didn't even know I had this book, to be honest with you. And I had never read it before. But anyway, this fella said that the sheep will come into a pasture and they'll spend a few months. The shepherd will bring them in and feed them in a pasture for a few months. And they will leave that pasture a better place than it was when they went in. Now, goats will go in and destroy it, right? We all know that's true. My grandfather decided years ago he didn't want to mow the grass anymore, so he went and bought goats. Oh, my goodness, those things. You had to watch every... You walk out the sidewalk, you better be watching. Because that thing will come and hit you and snap you back in half. I actually turned around one time, took a rock, and just clobbered that thing for knocking me down. My grandfather came running off the porch. Don't you hit my goat. I said, you tell him not to hit me. Man, I mean, he just cut. I didn't know it. And he hit me right in the hip and just shot me like a rocket. And when I landed, he was standing there looking at me like, ha, ha, ha. So I sent him, ha, 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 and in the other direction. I was about 10 years old. And oh, my goodness. But sheep, they'll leave a pasture a better place than it was when they went in. All right? They will eat the weeds, and then their hooves will aerate the soil, and their droppings put a specific balance of fertilizer in the soil. So when the sheep leave a pasture, they leave it in better shape than it was before. In other words, folks, goodness and mercy follows them. Goodness and mercy follows them. Listen carefully. They left behind something worthwhile, something productive, something beneficial. They did not just take from the land, but they were able to give back to the land where they had walked. There was a weed-free field with a great deal of fertility left in it. So the question now becomes to us is, can we say this is true of our life? Do I leave a blessing and a benediction behind me? Tennyson said in one of his classic poems, the good men do lives after them. Boy, that's so true, isn't it? I mean, we're still today talking about the good that David Livingston did over in Africa. We are still today talking about the good that Charles Haddon Spurgeon did in England. We're still talking about the good that our preachers of the past have done in their town or in their city. Thank God for the good that is left behind. And so, do we leave the good, or do we leave a mess? Do we leave a fragrance or a stench? Do we leave a blessing or a bane? Is my life a pleasure or is it a pain? You see what I'm saying, folks? What follows us? In Isaiah 52 and verse 7, we read these words, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace." And you know, sometimes it is profitable for us to sit down and ask ourselves the question, I mean the simple question, and that with an introspective look, and ask, do I leave peace or turmoil? Do I leave forgiveness or bitterness? Do I leave contentment or conflict? Do I leave flowers of joy or frustration? Do I leave behind love or do I leave behind ugliness and hatred? Which do we leave? What follows us? And the psalmist said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What follows you? Huh? What follows you? Secondly, I want you to notice the contentment that the shepherd instills. The contentment that the shepherd instills. All right? We looked at the confidence, but now secondly, I want you to notice the contentment that the shepherd instills. And we see the contentment in the second phrase of this verse. Look at it, please. David said, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This psalm opened with the proud, joyous statement, "The Lord is my shepherd." And now it closes with the equally positive, uplifting, and inspiring statement, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This shows us the sheep is completely satisfied with its lot in life. It's happy. The sheep is happy with its life, with where it is, with its position. The sheep is happy. The psalm opens with, "The Lord is my shepherd," and it closes with, "Man, I'm glad the Lord is my shepherd." That's how it ends. I mean, this shows us the sheep is completely satisfied with the shepherd. So content with the care that it receives, so much at home with the shepherd that there is not even a single ounce of desire for a change. That little lamb does not walk around and look at the shepherd down there working his fingers to the bone, taking care of somebody else in the flock. That little sheep does not sit there and turn and look and say, I don't appreciate him anymore. He's paying attention to that one. He's not paying attention to me. I'm just going to go somewhere else. I'm just going to find me another field that I can eat in. No, he doesn't do that. Why? He knows. Listen, if he gets in trouble, who runs to his side? The shepherd. Oh, yeah, he knows that. Folks, I don't care who you are. You can't go through life and escape problems. If you have, please come and see me and tell me how you've done it. But just stop and ask yourself this question, folks. Where have you ever gotten into a problem and then your shepherd just stood off to the side and said, "Handle it"? You've never had that issue. You know why? Because he loves you. And he is going to come and help you through your struggle. He loves you, folks. And that little lamb is sitting there, and he is just smiling from ear to ear and says, "I am at home here with my shepherd. I'm at home with Jesus. There is not even a single ounce of desire in my heart for a change." Simply stated, folks, the sheep would never plan to leave the shepherd. Never. He is not going to say, "I'm out of here." No. He's not going to do it. In one commentary I read, this fellow said, to put it in the common language used around a rough ranch, the sheep would say something like this: "Nothing will ever make me leave this outfit. It is simply the best." And folks, that's exactly the way your shepherd is. He's the best. Don't forget, the devil is a liar. Don't forget, the devil is a murderer, has been from the beginning. So don't forget that. He's a blasphemer. He hates God. And by the way, he hates you. So don't you dare get out from under the care of the shepherd, because if you do, he's waiting out there for you to devour you. So you got to be careful, don't you? Indeed. Indeed. That's true contentment, folks. But wait a second. Conversely, on the shepherd's side, there has developed in his heart an affection for the flock. I mean, he would never think of parting with his flock. Healthy, contented, productive sheep are his delight and his livelihood. He's not going to abandon his own flock. So the picture is that of a mutual bond that has become so strong between them that it is indeed forever. "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. I had a fellow say to me one time, "Well, if you sin, you're going to lose your salvation." What? If you sin, you're going to lose your salvation. And I had my Bible in my hand and I said, show me that. Show me that. And he took my Bible and he started thumbing and looking. And I know it's here somewhere. And I said, well, I got time. I got plenty of time. Well, I know it's in here, though. If you sin, you're going to lose your salvation. I said, all right, let me ask you a question. What if you just commit a little itty bitty tiny sin? I said, let me ask you this. If you killed someone, would you lose it? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I said, if you stole something, would you lose it? Oh, yes. I said, if you pushed a little lady on a walker over and then took her purse from her and beat her with the purse, would you lose it? Well, yes. I said, okay. What if Sunday came and you didn't go to church because you just didn't want to go to church? Would you lose it then? Well, I said, okay, so you're telling me that one sin will lose it for you, but the other won't. Well, maybe going to church is not a sin. If you don't go to church, it's not a sin. I said, wait a minute. The Bible says, for him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Well, you're getting technical now. I said, no, you're getting technical. Folks, look at it this way. When you got saved, God took all of your sin. All right, now listen to me now. All of your sin. And God scooped them all up. All right, now this is an illustration that a child can grab. All right, I know that this is not how God did it, but it's an illustration to help you understand. God took all of your sin. Wait a minute. God took all of your past sins. But God also knew that you were going to have future sins. And so God took all of your past sins, gathered them all up. Then he took all of your future sins, gathered them all up, and said, here, son, pay their wages, pay their penalty. Die for all their sin. You got that? You say, well, I can understand how God could forgive my past sin, but how could God forgive my future sin? Let me tell you something, folks. When the Lord Jesus died on Calvary's cross, all of your sins were future. It's not that hard to understand. He died for all of your sin. And so when you call upon the name of the Lord and ask him to save you, here's what the Lord Jesus does. He saves you completely. Completely. All the sin is under the blood. And now when God looks down upon you, he does not see the sin. He sees the blood of his son. And without the cleansing of the blood of the Lamb of God, none can be saved. You have got to be born again through what Jesus did for you on Calvary's cross. That's why coming to church and joining a church is not going to get you to heaven. It can't. There's no blood. No blood. Do y'all see blood anywhere? I don't. That's why getting in that baptistry is not going to get you to heaven. After church, you're welcome. Walk up here and check it out. Not a drop of blood up there. Not a one. That's why putting money in the offering plate. And I'm all for putting money in the offering plate, but not to get to heaven. Now, when that offering plate came by you this morning, there wasn't any blood in that offering plate, was there? And you didn't put any in. And the reason you didn't is because that's not what saves us, the offering. You say, well, Pastor, what saves me? Here, listen. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's just that simple, folks. I tell you, I don't have any plans of leaving, do you? I don't have any plans of looking for somebody else. I'm satisfied with the Savior. I don't need another shepherd. The one I got's wonderful. Wonderful. One more real quick thing. The word house, that's an interesting thing. He said, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, normally when you read the word house in the Bible, it's a reference to the sanctuary, to the house of the Lord, to the church, to the temple, to the tabernacle. I mean, that's, you know, the house of the Lord, a meeting place wherever God's people gather, like the church of the open door here. We realize that Psalm 23 is written from the perspective of one of the sheep, reflecting on and recounting the full scope of the year's activities with the shepherd. He has taken us, think about it now in verse 2, he has taken us from the green pastures and the still waters of the home grazing fields in the valley, up through the mountain passes to the high tablelands, to the mesas, for the summer range. And then, as fall approached, he has led them back down the foothills and back to the home base for a long, quiet winter. So in a sense, the moment he left, he was coming home. He was coming home, coming back. So during all seasons of the year, with the hazards, the dangers, the disturbances, it is the shepherd's alert care and his energetic management and his ever keen eye that has brought the sheep through it all. And it is with a sublime feeling of both composure and contentment that this statement, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, is made. So actually the house of the Lord is the family, or the household, or the flock of the good shepherd. And that little sheep says, man, I'm just comfortable to stay here. Where are we going today? Oh, we're going down the mountain? I'm with you. Let's go. I'm just going to stay with you. Man, wherever you go, I'm going to go. You're not going to see me over here rebelling, saying, it's a long way down there. No. Little lamb says, Lord, if you're going, I'm going. You remember when the children of Israel got over in the wilderness and God was angry with them, and Moses went up on the mountain with God to find out what to do. And God said to Moses, I'm done. I'm done with them. I've had it. I'm just going to destroy them and start over with you. And Moses said, oh, Lord, don't do that. Lord, don't do that. I mean, Lord, if you do that, what's everybody going to think? What's the world around us? What's all these heathens going to think? They're going to think you're a cruel God. And God said, well, all right, I guess I'll. All right, well, I'll let you take them up. No, Lord, that's not going to work either. What are you talking about? Well, Lord, if you don't go, if you don't go with us, don't even take us out of here. Just leave us here. We got to have you with us. And folks, that is exactly how we ought to feel towards our good shepherd. No matter what we have to face, we need to face it with our good shepherd. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, don't walk away from him. Don't get away from him. Stay close. Keep those short accounts. Keep those short accounts. And the good shepherd will manage you through. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, please, and no one looking around for just a moment. I wonder how many folks sitting here will say, Pastor, the shepherd's influence on me is, I realize everything you said this morning. I understand all that. But I haven't been recognizing my shepherd. And I just haven't been content. But I realize that he's the good shepherd. And I can trust him. So, preacher, pray for me this morning. God's dealing with my heart. Would you lift your hand all over the building? Yes, God bless you and you and you. Yes, many hands. God bless you, folks. God bless all of you. Good. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, God bless you. All right, one more question. God forbid, but if something were to happen to you and you were to go out into eternity, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? You say, well, Pastor, I like to think I would. Well, you know, the Bible says you can know. You can know that you're going to heaven. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder how many folks here this morning would say, Preacher, I'm not 100% sure. Pray for me. I know I need the Lord as my Savior. Pray for me. God's speaking to my heart this morning. Would you lift your hand and let me pray and ask God to help you this morning? Anybody like that? Pastor, pray for me. Amen. Thank you. May put it down. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anyone else? All right, Father, you know our needs today, and I pray you'll bless. You saw the hands of all of us Christians who maybe just get a little weary in well-doing, and we don't recognize and realize that the shepherd is, oh, he's awesome. He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. He's just going to be there, and he'll guide us through. He'll comfort us. We don't ever have to worry about getting kicked out of the family. We dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so, Father, I pray you will bless that to our hearts. And I pray for these who raise their hand. They're not sure they're saved. I pray that they'll get that settled today. John said, these things write we unto you that ye may know that ye have eternal life. So I pray that these will know that their sins are forgiven. Bless us now, Father, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.